This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 248 of the Countdown Podcast. Today we'll be talking TV with you. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and today television in
damn
order
right
of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And we're kicking off the look back at 2019 with the first of a series of three shows. And today, as Wayne has said, it's all about TV.
That's
and
right.
The next 2 weeks we'll have the worst and the best films of the year. But
righto.
Today we combine all in one, the worst and the best, or the best and the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne, TV for 2019 is a general thought. What are you thinking of it?
Well, first of all, there's tons of it. Okay? No matter what, if you listen to the... Well,
this is where you come for the insightful,
No. There is insight coming up, you cracker. Now, here's the thing. All of y'all, all through the year, I have heard like women and, well, mostly women say to me, yo, you got to check out this TV show, like Big Little Lies, for example. And I really wanted to see it, but I couldn't get to it. And I've heard like 20, I got 20 stories like this where I'm like, I should have seen it, didn't get to it. So no matter what, if you like the flicks, the Foxtel, the whatever, you know, whatever you guys have, cable over Stan there, CBS, fucking, yeah. If you dig all that shit, the intersection of what I've seen and what you like is probably not going to be that like close together. You may be like, oh, why haven't you heard talked about this one? It's because I haven't seen it.
Well, there's no way. The difference between, and this is why we tend to concentrate more on film than we do on TV, is you can keep across most of the big releases in film.
Yeah.
Not easily, but with a bit of effort.
Yeah, you just buck out for a couple hours, 3 hours, whatever.
Yeah, whereas TV, that ain't that way.
It's a commitment, man. Yes, it's a commitment. I
mean, all the way up to 22 hours worth of commitment.
Absolutely.
Not that many shows these days, thank God, subscribe to that. Network television still does a bit, but the rest of it is more limited, sort of 12, 10, 8 episodes, which is more palatable, but still, that's 12, 10, or 8 hours of your life.
And it's not just time. It's your heart. Mm. Okay? You look at the news. You need to decide whether you really like a show before you risk giving it the rest of the season.
Well, and we talk about it. We have talked about it recently, and mm-hmm. I'm sure we will again. The 3-ep rule.
That's right. The 3-ep rule.
You've got 3 episodes to capture my attention and to show me something that makes this worthy of my time.
Right.
Because otherwise, forget it. I'll move on to the next thing because there's always the next thing.
And the
heaps and heaps of it.
Absolutely. The pattern usually goes, all right, throw everything into the pilot so people will watch the second one. The second one we go exposition worthy, so it's not going to be as cool, but hopefully it'll get them to the third one. And by then, maybe I got them. All right. Sometimes they don't. So, yeah.
Interesting to see. So we're going to be covering as much of the TV as we can. And like I said, we're going to do the worst first off and then the best.
Right.
We'll spend more time on the best because we'd like to be positive sometimes.
Also, I don't have many worsts because once you hear something is shit, you don't go near it.
Well, that's the thing about TV. Usually you bow out.
Right? Exactly.
You get 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, and you just go, right, nah. But some of mine I saw through to the end.
Good God.
For reasons that I will explain. And the worst is a relative term, right?
Exactly.
Some of this is fine. It's just nowhere near as good as the stuff that
and
I like.
Exactly. And it's the worst of the things you saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of them, which will be at least good for you because right you saw it.
Whereas when we get to films, as we will do in the next fortnight, yes, I feel very confident in saying,
oh, yeah,
these are the
there
worst.
There are turkeys straight
and
up.
These are the best because I've seen a whole shit ton, particularly this mm-hmm year when it comes to film, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that's the preface. Let's get into a little bit of feedback on last week's show in a segment that we call
Who Wants a Recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
No point. All right, so the recount's where we look back upon the stuff that happened weeks prior or a week prior. Paul, what's up?
Much better. Back announced. Well done.
Thanks, Rick.
Last week, we did the top 10 sci-fi films of the 2010s with great guests Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast and Wesley from the Via VHS podcast, as I remember
that's
he calls
right
it after while I was editing. And they were both from North Carolina. So the vote went on the line. North Carolina in the Facebook listening community scored 12 votes. Australia, i.e. us, scored 31, so a hometown victory. It's hard to come
on. Oh, yeah, only one podcast which did a shit ton of campaigning actually beat us.
So slash you let everyone in.
I still stand by that decision. Let them win.
Shout out to Daniel and Dean for the Movie Journey podcast there. Blake Jarvis said, as much as I love Fury Road, not enough sci-fi in it. It's all modern and practical. Dystopian, The Countdown. Get it? Dan Rennick from Netflix and Sewell said, this time Paul falls victim to the don't fucking touch swords mantra. I look around. Oh, no, it's on the floor.
It's on the floor.
It has moved. I thought for a second Wayne had bowed to pressure.
I accidentally knocked it over, but for the record, people, if you look at that photo that's on the line of the sword sitting next to me and my gaping face, The sword is
what
not...
What are you doing, Paul Face?
It's exactly. It's not purely ornamental. If you look closely, it has a precision-weighted stainless steel handle, which I had to have installed, okay? Because I used to swing this bitch around. Now, I know that doesn't help my case with, like, Dan and Caleb.
Does that make it better?
It is actually more dangerous. It's not sharp, though. I did blunt it. So, you know, just I'm just saying. It's not just an ornamental sword.
Chris Sutherland said, both had great calls. Super 8 pick almost had it for me, but ultimately I did a coin flip. I'm not sure which way his vote went there.
Oh.
Chef Ben from the In the Weeds podcast says, I cannot in good conscience vote for a list that has Snowpiercer on it. That movie is hot garbage, which created a bit of conjecture.
I had a little problem with the show too. Like with Snowpiercer. I remember you and I had a little discussion about it where you were like, bitch. And I was like, bitch. So
you were like,
bitch, please.
And right. I was like,
bitch, please.
Yes, you were.
David Powell, however, swung in for Snowpiercer's defense. Chris Yeaney said, the Lawler crew was bought off with t-shirts. Vote there. And Mina Harker, though, voted for North Carolina, saying I had to vote for Super 8. Sorry, countdown.
Fair enough.
So there we are. That's last week's votes. Thank you so much to Wesley and Gerald for coming on the show. It rounded out our top 10s of the decade very, very well. A couple other quick things. Firstly, this one is a message from Korean Movies on Twitter, which I wanted to share.
Korean Movies?
Okay. What's the name? At DogBiteDog2. Hey, everybody. Compliments of Season 2. I'm going through a rough patch at present, but your podcast is keeping up my spirits for which I am truly grateful. And that was sent out to the Retro Cinema Podcast with Gidget and Angry Man.
Cool.
The Movie Journey Podcast with Daniel and Dean, aforementioned, and us. And he said, have a wonderful Christmas.
You too, Korean. Yeah. I hope everything works out, man. In fact, it will. Just chill, man. Just be tough.
There you go. Life advice from Wayne. Take it with a grain of salt. No, but thank you for the message.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that, but it is very we hope it works great for you.
Very much appreciate it. And then finally, a quick email here from Dean, which is son of my friend Steve. He said, hi, Paul and Wayne. It's Dean again. Since I've been watching a lot of this show, maybe you could look at it. My Hero Academia, seasons 1-4. I've been enjoying the show. Maybe you could watch it and make an episode about it.
My Hero Academia.
Which is an anime show.
Oh, really?
Which I did a cursory amount of research on. I'm not sure it's in our brief, but we'll have a look. We'll have a look, Dan, and we'll come back. We'll let you know. Yeah, because it would have been nice to cover it today, but didn't quite get a chance to see it.
Because of the million shows out there, yes.
See the aforementioned Wade point. And that is it for this week's recount. Thanks to everyone who gets back to us. And indeed, people send us messages which we don't have time to get to. Let's get into the show proper then. On the other side of this music cue, the best and worst of TV for 2019.
That is annoying. That is the worst effect ever. I'm so sorry, everyone. I thought it would never end.
That was the medium delay as well.
Oh, my God.
Not the slow
Ridiculous.
Delay.
Okay, never again, that one.
All right, we're starting off with the worst. Now, Wayne, you didn't have as much in this department because
you
are better at going, I'm out.
No, I'm just, I think I forget that part of my life when I'm watching a bad TV show. It's called the Hero Syndrome.
Right, only remember the good stuff?
Yeah, plus, you know, I watched every frame of that stupid show.
Oh, hero! Sorry.
Yeah, heroes. You know,
I thought you were referring to yourself as a hero who doesn't have time to watch shit TV.
Let's go with that.
All right, I'll let us off then because I've got a few. I have to admit. Now, my partner Patsy would criticize me for the fact that I will tend to stick with shows longer than I should.
Sure, but that's probably a boon if you ask me. But go on.
When we first got together, I was watching. This is a show no one will remember. Terra Nova. Which was kind of like a Steven Spielberg produced like ripoff of Jurassic World, where in the future people travel back in time and get stuck in the age of dinosaurs. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, sounded good on paper. It was a fucking shit house.
It was a shit house.
But I stuck with it thinking, well, Steven Spielberg's attached. It has to get better. It didn't.
It doesn't work like that, man. Joss Whedon did production for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that thing sucks.
That said, my first worst of the year is a show which I did watch all the way through with my partner after a wonderful first season, Killing Eve.
Ah, now I had one... Wait, you're saying this is bad?
The second season really wrote itself into some corners.
Look, a lot of folks... This is one of those things that the chicks tell me about, okay?
It's great.
Look, Killing Eve.
The first season is stellar TV.
Yeah?
Huge big tick for it. Now... What they've adopted here is a model where a different female showrunner will run every season. And the first one was the woman who's done Fleabag, which is a show which people love.
Yep.
And I haven't got a chance to talk about it. I don't know if you will later today. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Then she handed the reins over to someone named Emerald Fennell. Now, at the end of the first season, they make a decision which really does make it hard to go in certain directions. I will fully acknowledge. But Emerald, I don't know, she doesn't have a tighter rein as Phoebe did.
Can you tell me what it's
first name basis, obviously, with all the... It's basically about a female analyst
yep.
who becomes aware of a female assassin
okay.
who's doing the rounds, and they develop this unhealthy obsession with each other.
Oh, very cool.
That's it.
This is Sandra Oh, yeah?
Sandra Oh is the analyst, and yep. Jodie Comer, who I've never seen anything else except in a very brief cameo on The Rise of Skywalker. I'm not sure why she even bothered, but there we go. They're both excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And the show's absolutely worth watching. Just the second season got adjusted. And like I said, it's overall, it's okay. It's just a fall off from the first season.
Absolutely. I know how that works.
So that was one of my worsts there. The next was The Umbrella Academy Netflix
show.
Oh,
wait, you didn't like that?
Not really.
Okay, so here's what happened with Umbrella Academy. I watched it, was impressed by the first episode. Thought it was good. Thought it could be good, but for some reason did not capture my imagination.
Well, that's my point. It can't have been that good if you didn't bother to go back to it after episode one.
I guess you're right.
In my case, I watched all eight episodes of it.
And
I kept expecting it to get better, and it was okay, but it never got good. Never. There was moments or snippets where it threatened to, and I thought it was going to explode in this really awesome way. Never really does. So that was a real letdown for me.
Ah.
I know Netflix and Spielboy is really shat on this one, so they'll be pleased to hear me,
really?
Hear me say that.
I was actually also...
A full review of it. You can go back and check that out from earlier in the year.
Yeah, I hope that I actually would have... like. I'm starting to think, I missed out on that one. But now the assembly is shit. I'm actually glad I didn't keep watching it.
It was disappointing. It really was. It seemed to be... And there's another season coming.
I think there was something wrong with it. I think there was... When I watched that first thing, I saw one or two episodes. I was like... This has the potential to be really good, but there's something about the characters which makes me not take it seriously enough for it to be interesting. Mm. That's what I think happened.
Well, here's one which I did not see the whole way through, Daybreak.
Ah, what's
another
that one?
Netflix show. This is a show which basically, imagine Ferris Bueller set after some kind of dirty bomb goes off and turns all the adults over 18 or 19, whatever it is, into zombies.
Oh.
And then the survivors are all coming together in a fourth wall breaking, talk to camera, quippy all the time kind of way. It's more a comedy than it is a horror or a dystopian.
Okay, so
thing.
Far it sounds great.
Yeah, and it's got Matthew Broderick cast in it.
Oh my god, actual Ferris Bueller?
Yes, which is clearly a huge meta nod. And that's what this whole show is, meta nod, meta nod, meta nod.
And it's not good?
Yet it gets really tiresome by episode 3.
The talk to the camera
And
thing?
I got through all the way to episode 6 of 8 or 10, I can't remember. And just gave it 10 out of 10 and gave it away because I'm like, I can't handle 4 more hours of this.
So you are now tired or like of all the fourth wall breaking?
That,
or in general?
Yeah, just the characters aren't that arresting. It's really slow. You know, it spins its wheels a lot. Despite the fact there's a lot, I mean, you talk about this quite a bit. There's not a lot of negative space in this show. There's a lot of stuff going on a lot of the time.
And it's too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, see. That's funny. When it's spinning its wheels, but there's lots going on, it means it's doing everything wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The next one was, only got through 2 episodes and gave it away. Jordan Peele's reboot of Twilight Zone.
Oh, how
fucking hated.
I have wondered how this is.
The second episode is a redoing of Nightmare at 40, 50, whatever it is, 1,000 feet.
The one with the goblin on the plane?
Yeah, exactly, from the movie.
I remember that one from the movie.
It's based on a Richard Matheson short story, right? It's garbage. They fucking turn,
why?
They turn it into, that's Adam Scott in the role.
Yeah, as the guy in the seat?
Yep.
As the John Lithgow character?
Yes. Yep. And instead, at this time, there's no goblin on the plane. It's a podcast predicting when so-and-so sat on this plane, he had no idea it would be his last flight. And it's just him listening to this podcast, projecting what's going to happen on this plane.
So there's no monster?
No.
Gun?
Fucking awful.
Fucking hell. First of all, podcasts only do good in the world. Secondly, whose idea was
if
that?
You can't remake that one in a way that captivates me, then you've lost me entirely. And the first episode was this really shitty one about a comedian. And I'm like, this is garbage. It's all like really leaning heavily into political commentary and socio-political stuff.
You can go overboard with that shit.
There's little sci-fi and almost no horror about it. And I'm like, that's what I come to the Twilight Zone for.
Is that conceptual kind of Twilight
Bye.
Zone?
Bye. Really? So I didn't bother with the rest of it.
So it's a full season then?
Yeah, I think it had 8 episodes or give or take. And
do
I just gave up after
canceled?
2.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm pretty sure it did well. So I am in the minority on this particular... But I think it did well because of Jordan Peele's name, not because of the quality of the show.
Okay.
So, disappointing.
All right. Well, can we go from your classy picks to a couple of mine? We'll jump back and forth if you like.
Please.
everyone, you've been talking with Paul about his, you know, literary sort of like very serious shows, whereas I am going to talk to you about Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club Season 1.
What the fuck?
That's right, buddy. We're talking about bad ones, right?
But what would possess you to watch that?
I'll tell you. I follow Lilo on Instagram. Now, this is purely because I had a crush on her when I was young.
Do you have permission to call her Lilo?
I think I do.
I'm assuming.
And this is what happens, okay, people. On the Instagram, she's posting pictures and videos of herself dancing or fucking around at this club in Mykonos. And this TV show is an MTV reality series. Side note, I hate reality TV shows.
Uh-huh.
I hate them all. All right. And I hated this one as well, but I thought I'd just check it out because I kept getting bombarded by these images. I did hate watch it a bit.
Well, man, it's slightly better.
You know what I'm saying? And it's ostensibly about her management of her since-closed Mykonos club. And it's basically just her spending time focusing on a random group of employees, performing their duties at the club. And it's shit. It is really boring. And it just shows the faces a number of insurmountable obstacles, which makes it almost unwatchable, like just for her to open this club and do shit. And it's an excuse for her to... She's not all that these days. Like, I thought she was beautiful when she was young. I did. I said it. All right?
Yeah, sure. Fine.
But now she just looks puffy, right? Like she's put a lot of filler in her face.
Doesn't she talk like this now?
It's definitely not like before.
Or she should.
Yeah, well... Anyway, so it's just a piece of shit. I'm sure no one was going to watch it, but really, if you come across it, just throw whatever it is you're watching across the room.
Yeah, I'm not sure you've saved me for anything there, that's for sure.
No, you definitely haven't. No one will have heard of this. I thought it would just be funny for you to know that I saw this shit. So there you are. Please, one of yours.
Okay. Only a couple more of mine, one of which I'm just going to say refer to an episode that we've done, the best and worst of Game of Thrones. I think season 8 of Game of Thrones was such a letdown that it has to be on my worst of the year list.
This is contentious, because I feel like putting this on my best and worst of the year. Okay, because Game of Thrones, the first four episodes, four episodes, killer, man. Even the dark one, it was still killer episode, man. Lots of good shit
happened. What I didn't like about that is documenting the episode, and would be spoiler, but it wraps up a massive plot thread way too conveniently for me.
Okay, so it's the second and last. They're the most. And it may have even turned to shit on, like, you know, the third last episode.
But I'm
as well.
Saying that battle you talked about wrapped up something way too easily for me.
Really?
Given that we spent 7 fucking years building to it.
That was a fine wrap up. That was a really good wrap up. I was like, oh, of course that's how it was going to end, because that's, I didn't expect it. And also it was cool looking. No, that was the first four
this
episodes.
This is the dumbest shit Suck my anyone dick. Ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating.
Kiss my
yet.
Ass, motherfucker. Time. All right. Punk ass bitch. No, I think it's actually on my best and worst. Honestly, I will now not mention it on my best list, but that's the point I'm making. Last three shit, first three, fucking baller.
Anyway, all right, fine. No, it's not fine. It's on your best and worst. God damn.
Absolutely makes sense if you ask me.
How is that pole up your ass from sitting on the fence?
Hey. You can be more than one thing, Paul. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you about a show that you're probably going to be amused that I watched.
Okay.
Everyone.
More so than Lindsay Lohan Beach Bum?
Yeah, because I don't think it amused you at all. You were just disgusted. Murphy Brown got brought back 20 years after it was ended.
Okay. Was that this year? Or was it last year? It was this year.
I thought it was this year. I'm sure it's this year. Well, it certainly took me till this year. No, it's this year.
Okay.
I didn't know what they were going to do about it, right? Because I don't know if you just make... Because they're doing that a lot now with Mad About You and fucking William Grace and all that sort of stuff, right? I haven't caught Mad About You. I tried to, couldn't find it. But this is essentially the same thing, but it's got the laugh track still. I thought they might take it away, but they didn't do that. So it's a laugh track, 3-camera type show, right? She is looking as good as she can for that. And I say this now because when I was in high school, I adored Murphy Brown.
You did.
Paul knows this. I like the older chicks, right? So...
Not just Paul knows that.
Shut up, bitch. So, how did I think you weren't going to tuck and take a jab at this one?
If you set it up, I have to knock it down.
I understand it, motherfucker. All right.
That's an instinct.
But the cool thing is, not the cool thing. This has a hint of The Newsroom about it, okay? The first, like the...
Sorkin show?
Yes, it's very topical, and I think the one in the first three episodes is basically, if you have a bad element, like a white supremacist or something, you know, is it more important to shut him down or just to deny him a platform? That's the thing they're dealing
with. Sounds hilariously funny.
Yeah, it is actually funny enough. The old characters are back, and it's cool to see them again. It is a bit far-fetched to see that these guys are still in broadcasting because they've got to be like 80 now. you know, so it's like, all right. But I had a reasonable time with it, but it's already been cancelled.
All right, so it didn't last
long.
So
it just did not last long. And I'm a little pissed about that, so but I kind of see why.
So it's on the worst.
It's on the worst.
Okay. My last worst then, to wrap this part up for me, is a show which I normally love. And I've championed for a lot of years. In fact, because it's been going for 20 years. This was season 39 of Survivor from America.
Good God.
I've watched almost all those seasons.
The last 10 years
in particular, I've been a hardcore fan. I might have missed one or two of the early seasons, but yeah, it's become a thing in my family now. My daughter's on board. She likes watching it too. She gets a bit bored when they're sitting around talking about things at the jury, but she loves the challenges.
Really?
Likes the colourful sort of contestants and whatever else. So it's a nice little family time for her. So I don't begrudge the show that. But this season was called Island of the Idols, right?
Mm.
And they made a number of bonehead choices. So they brought back two previous winners, Boston Rob and Sandra, and had them coaching contestants who would come out to the island and meet them and do the challenge and
teach them
a viable lesson about being on Survivor.
Is it like Survivor the Apprentice?
In a way, almost in a way. And it's really, that bit's on the nose. They didn't get a very good cast either this year, a very good bunch of contestants. There's no one really likable. There's no one really villainous either that you could really cheer against. It's just really annoying people.
Is this the longest running TV show ever? Is that 39 years, did I think, you say?
No, because it runs two seasons a year. So it's been running for 20 years. Okay. The Simpsons smashes it.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And not to mention some of the daytime soaps, which I'm sure have been
running. Oh, that doesn't count.
Even longer.
That doesn't count.
Even longer than that. But what then happens to make this the worst show of the year for me is a complete bumbling mishandle of some very, very inappropriate shit.
What?
This older male contestant, I think he's in his late 40s,
right,
on the show, starts, and that shows from episode one, he's too touchy-feely, like way
what?
Too touchy-feely.
So he's Joe Biden, got it.
And like they go to bed, sleep at night and he's, you know, they do huddle together for warmth, they all do, but he's put his arm around them and on their bellies.
What,
and,
the women?
Yes, of course the women. He's
not young women?
Yes, all younger.
Doesn't really matter, women, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, they all are younger than him. And one of the women then, about episode 4 or 5, or maybe a little bit later in the season, 6 or 7, when they merge, they come together and merge, and she's from the other tribe, so it is a little bit later in the season. He starts doing the same thing to her, and she just goes, fuck all this, you cannot touch me like that. And she gets really upset on camera. And the producers, for the first time in the history of the show, break through the wall and say, we'll do something about this if you need us to.
They showed them...
Words only, right?
All right.
She brings up with other, and some of the other females on the show also go, yeah, it's horrible. Anyway, it becomes this huge thing, and an older woman on the show sides with and said, well, she was mates with this guy. Well, I'm voting him out then because I can't have that happening here. This is not okay.
Yeah.
Somehow, it all gets twisted around, and they vote out the woman who complained because the girls who sided with her then flipped on her and said, oh, it wasn't that bad. No,
what nothing. The fuck?
Yeah, and they just let this happen. It's on camera.
Hang on a second.
Show itself, like the contestants make themselves even more unlikable by flipping and not doing anything about this, right?
Why did that happen, though?
It's too hard to go into. I don't want to explain it all now.
Okay, but, do you think it's a producer-directed kind of thing?
No, absolutely not. But the moment this happened and was ratified as being not, you can't just go, oh, that guy touched me, get rid of him because he might be winning. That's not a strategy. But
no.
When it's seen on camera, there's evidence there and they do nothing more
for
about
multiple
it.
Multiple people.
Then they take him aside and have words to him.
That's what they do?
They have a graphic flash up and say, he's spoken to. And then 4 or 5 episodes later, Jeff suddenly comes walking up the beach at the end of the episode and says, this guy, Dan, is gone because he put his hands on a female member of staff. So this guy who sat there and argued on camera in the jury, basically saying, if I've offended anyone, I'm so sorry. I work in the talent industry. He's an agent of some description in Hollywood. Right? I never intended it. I have 3 daughters at home or some shit like this. He is clearly an absolute fucking filth
and
of
he,
a person.
So he feels up the contestants. The contestants who complained against the ass. Yeah.
They vote her out. One dude who's very educated stands up and clearly very, very aware of a great place in the world to be. You know, he stands up and basically says, that's not cool. You know, it doesn't matter whether you intended it or not. Someone's felt that way and we're not treating this with respect. He gets voted out.
Oh!
And like the whole narrative then this creates is just disgusting.
It sounds like the producer made that happen. It sounds like, hey, this guy's going to give us some shit.
I don't want to go that far.
I know.
But since then, like this guy, he wasn't invited back to the reunion show. He just got removed. He got removed unceremoniously and was never seen again. And as far as I'm aware, has not been interviewed or granted any interviews. This guy's career, I hope he's fucking dead.
Really?
Because he is clearly a predator.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
There's no other way around it.
And then they fire him for touching a female staff member.
Yeah, so
it's almost like
Survivor's now saying we learned things, and I'll give them credit. They did on the reunion show give the woman who originally came up with the complaint space just to talk about this, and she was so overawed by the occasion she didn't do a very good job of it. But at least she got to say thank you for doing this, and also I mean, I wish they had handled it better, but I'm glad now that something has happened and they've changed their policies and the like going forward on the show. So
I'm surprised this didn't get better news.
It was big news in the Survivor community, but whether it hit you as a non-watcher is another matter. It made news.com.au.
Okay.
There we go. So that's why it's my worst. I'm sorry I spoke about it for so long, but it was such a topical thing. It was so incredible. And try explaining that to a 6-year-old watching this shit.
Yeah, fuck that. Holy crap. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Which it's a family fucking
show.
You're
incensed. Yeah, it makes sense.
That's why it's my worst show of the year by a long, long way.
Wow. All right, man. Nice. I don't think I can top that. So
That's it?
That's it.
All right, that's the worst of the show then. Let's on the other side, let's get into much nicer shit.
Yes.
Let's talk some real positivity to wrap up 2019, because this will be the last show of the year. Hey, by the way, happy fucking New Year to
happy
you.
Happy New Year, kids!
When you listen to this just on the wrong or the right side of the New Year, depending which way you look at it. Let's get into it then, the top 10 on the other side. Sorry, the top whatever on the other side of this.
The top 10.
Is it?
I don't know that
it's better,
but it
goes slower. It's slower than the one before.
Well, if anyone didn't understand that cacophony.
The best of TV 2019, Wayne. We didn't have any list or order here. We didn't want to do a top 10 because we weren't sure we could make a top 10.
Yeah, because it's tough.
I have seven shows on my list.
I can do like 7, 8.
All right, so lead us away then. I've talked a lot already, so how about we spend a bit of time with you? Give us your whole... Go, wait. Just give us two in a row. What's your number 8?
Okay. The show, is Sex Education.
Okay, I never watched this one, but my partner did and she loved it.
This is an odd one, people. It's got Asa Butterfield and Gillian Anderson in it, among others, and it's basically about the education of the main character.
Wait, sorry? You wanted to... Butter asses, no, Gillian Anderson.
Asses a dude.
Oh, sorry.
So, sure.
What? No.
It's okay. It was worth a try. and it's about like, so Asa Butterfield plays this kid named Otis, and he's got like, he's the main character, and his classmates in his high school, he basically becomes a sex therapist for them because his mom, Gillian Anderson, is a sex therapist, and basically, there's this other girl named Maeve who sees the financial potential in this, and she forms an agreement where she will find the sexually needy customers in the high school and make him their sex therapist, informally, but still getting paid for it.
Okay.
And I know, that's what it's about, right? And Gillian Anderson is wildly, like, she's one of those moms that talks to her kids about fucking and is open about how that she fucks and shit, and it's quite refreshing in that way, but
probably not for Asa.
No, not for Asa, and not for only for people who are spectating this. If your mother starts talking to you about dicks and fannies, you are very upset about the fucking world, okay? But it's a coming of age TV, but
some shit shouldn't roll downhill.
Absolutely not. Imagine if your mother started saying, "So, tell me about your dick." Yeah, that'd be fucked, man. All right.
Now we've made everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But this is like a. It's just like, because it's English, kind of, it's not a high school drama that you might expect. It is very much more, in a way, serious. And all the people that come to him are from different walks, like homosexual people, people who are actually having, like, just genuine problems that you might have as a kid. And you get kind of good advice from it. I've gotten some good advice from it. So there you are.
Okay.
All right. So that's my level of sexual maturity.
Spoilers for Wayne's personal life.
And also Fleabag.
Fleabag, okay.
Fleabag is this shit. It is, yes. That
so
is.
You watched both seasons?
I sort of watched deep into the second season. I wouldn't say all of them.
Because that's the end, right? She's finishing it now. Nothing more.
Is
there's
that
a,
so?
There's a live special, I believe, and that's it.
Really? Mm. Oh, that's no good. It's basically a snappy television show. And it's kind of tight about like Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character. And it basically follows her in the throes of losing her best friend and mother, maintaining a strained relationship with the family, plus nursing the whole thing with unashamed sex. And I think that's the thing that's actually quite fun about this. Like, you'll see her talking to someone. She's a fourth wall breaker. That's what this show is, right?
Okay, yeah.
But she'll sometimes do
despite
a thing where...
my complaints about Daybreak, I like that mechanism.
You, exactly. When it works, it works. And it works to spectacular effect here. So much so that Daniel Craig made her a writer on the next James Bond film.
Right.
Like, that's how...
I mean, her career's going for a string. And she won Emmys.
Yeah, she's doing really, really well. But it's sort of darkly comedic, and it's still talking about grief and self-awareness and loss, but it's done in a way that makes me really like laugh at it. Like, she'll talk to a guy and a guy will say, "I'm gonna treat you like the whore you are," and she looks at the camera off sort of camera and look, "Ooh, big thing," and he goes, "No, I'm only kidding." And she looks back and has this really disappointed look on her face. It's shit like that. So she's really, really obviously sexual, and but it's refreshing. Very good. So Fleabag.
Okay. Yeah,
Fleabag
a lot of recommendations. A lot of the listener feedback is about this show. So
you're
really tapping into the zeitgeist there. So.
Yeah, good to hear.
All right, well, my first one, and full disclosure, for the first time ever, I've not put this in an order before we've come to the show.
Yeah, fine, we're just throwing them out.
But I'm going to do it on the fly.
All right.
So my number 7 is American Horror Story 1984.
Which one is this now?
Is it season 10, 9? I forget whichever one it is.
And it's set in 1984, clearly.
Yeah, and it's This is an anthology season, yeah. So even though they have the same actors back or whatever, and they've started to make some kind of connections, I understand, with the previous season, Apocalypse.
That's all.
Connecting some of the seasons together. But basically, they're standalone seasons covering different elements of the horror genre.
Mm.
And this one is about the slasher film.
Is Dermot in it?
He is in it towards the end of the season. It's the shortest season. I think it was only 9 episodes, give or take, of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it benefits from that because it does sort of whittle its cast down quite heavily by halfway through the season.
Really?
If I can put it that
way. Yeah, no wonder you liked it, motherfucker.
Yeah, and it's a throwback to the 80s. It's got all the cliches and the tropes of that whilst also exacerbating. But then it adds this sort of very supernatural element, which it would be hit and miss for most. And I must admit, I struggled a little bit with it.
Yeah.
But overall, a lot of fun. Some great kills, real gore for a show. It's on, I think, FX in the States, which I'm not sure, but I guess it's there for. And they can swear, they can show some things you would never get away with on network television.
And really?
Yeah, I dug it. I'm not going to say it's the best thing ever, but I certainly was intrigued and interested and looking forward to each week. And I watched it as it came out. I think I had the last 2 or 3 sort of banked and watched them all in one night.
You know, the only thing I can offer about this is that American Horror Story, I've not seen it as I don't like horror. However, when I saw the trailer for the initial season, right? There was just the end of the trailer had this shot of all of them in a house. And at the very end of the dying seconds of the trailer, the young girl is sitting down and she looks at the camera. And it's just really oddly creepy and haunting. And I went, whoa. And it actually bugged me. And I was like, shit, that looks weird.
Yeah,
and
Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk.
These are the directors?
Ryan Murphy's the guy who creates showrunners. Yeah. Dick Lee.
Spoilers, I fucking love... I don't love Glee, I love the songs in Glee.
He's so different.
Yeah, if he can do Glee and this, yes, very impressive.
Obviously a lot of talent there to be able to... I won't say anything more because I'm not sure if that part's right. But yeah, if you're into American Horror Story, you've probably already seen it. If you're not, I'm not sure this is the jumping on point because I got off on Hotel.
Is there a good... Is there a way.
I got out got of off in American a hotel? Horror yeah, Story. Right. At that point, and then I did also watch Roanoke this season, went back and watched Roanoke, which was also it was a sort of faux mockumentary kind of...
Is that a season?
It was a season, yeah, which was a lot of fun too.
Okay.
But this one, no, I probably like Roanoke better, but this is the one that came out this year.
Okay, fair enough. My number, let's say it's a 7.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, is Jack Ryan.
Season 1 or 2?
2, because that's this year.
I watched season 1 this year. I haven't watched season 2 yet.
What did you think of season 1?
Yeah, I've downloaded season 2.
Okay, I will tell you straight up.
Don't watch it on Stan.
Yeah, yeah. It's on Amazon Prime, but never mind.
Starting my subscription today.
Okay, we don't magic things here. Yes, Jack, look, second season is not as good as the first season.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, but perhaps you can agree with this. So Jack Ryan is about an up-and-coming CIA analyst, Jack Ryan, previously played by Alec Baldwin and Harrison Ford in the movies.
And Ben Affleck.
And the Fleck. And he's pretty much doing the same Middle East type shit here, although in the second season it's Venezuela set, so it's kind of cool, all right? But the thing about that Jack Ryan is that this, what's his name, John Krasinski?
Yep.
He's not your quintessential... rugged, good-looking hunk. He's Jim from The Office. So he's...
Can I remind you, he's married to Emily Blunt?
Look, I'm not saying women don't dig him. They dig the shit out of him.
Women clearly dig him.
No, I get it because he's so non-predatory the way he is because charming. He's all cute. And he's charming. Yeah, he's charming and he's cute, good-looking. He's more like the Alec Baldwin Jack Ryan than he is the Harrison Ford Jack Ryan. And that works totally
and
fine.
Nothing at all like Ben Affleck.
He's probably a little flecky, but... I didn't mind Flex Turn with like Morgan Freeman, that one.
Yeah, Sum of All Fears.
I like that one. I didn't mind it. So, yes, but this show itself is actually really cool. The season you saw was set in Paris, and I think that was much cooler.
Paris, the Middle East.
Paris-ish, yeah. Yes. The second season, while not as good as the first, still something that I wanted to watch every episode of. So
I've heard very mixed reports about second season, so I'm a little bit... But to hear you say that, that really does encourage me, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a little bit predictable, the second season, is what I will say. But still good. Still, it's good, worth a watch.
Okay. And I also like seeing the dude from The Wire in this.
Yes. Bunk is in it. Yeah. So he features heavily in the second season.
Well, he's the second main character in the first. So
but like stuff goes on with him. Okay. So yeah.
Cool. All right. Nice. My number 6. This is where I have to make a really tough decision, but I'm going to do it. And this amazes me that I'm going to do it.
Go on.
Stranger Things season 3.
Interesting.
I'm surprised it's so low on my list, I have to say, because I think I gave it a really good score. But the stuff that's above it on my list, including one show which I didn't give a high score when we reviewed it, which we'll come to very shortly. I like the show. I think it's great. I think it does a really good job. I think it's really engaging. I think the Duffer Brothers are excellent showrunners. Mm. I think it's the best thing that Netflix have ever consistently produced.
Yeah, okay.
You don't need to hear us talk about it anymore. Go back, 5-6 months ago, we did a whole episode on Stranger Things season 3.
Yeah.
Liked it a lot.
The 80s-ness of it, which has always been going through the thing, the fact that they made this a mall thing, I liked it very much. Mm. All right, so I thought I'd dig that.
I think it was a good continuation story, and I think they made some good choices with the bit part characters to make it more interesting.
Yes.
I'm not sure what kind of hole they've written themselves into, given the way things wrap up.
I've forgotten how it wraps up, but yes.
We won't talk about it and be non-spoilery here today for this episode. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Not on your list?
Not on my list, but probably on my honorable mentions.
Okay.
My number 6. It was going to be Game of Thrones, but we just talked about it. I'm going to replace it with this one.
Okay.
Mandalorian. Now, Paul is none too fond of this one necessarily.
Wrong.
Is that
wrong?
So? Oh, crap on me.
The Mandalorian is my number 5.
Oh, cracker, please.
That's
all right.
I'm saying, yeah, because it stuck the landing.
Now, this is very important.
Have you seen the last 2 episodes?
No, I haven't. And I just talked to my...
Jesus, and it's still on your fucking list.
It is. So wait, it gets clearly better is what you're saying to me. All right, well, look at me.
Episode 7 and 8 are the standout of this show.
Just this morning, I had a WhatsApp conversation with my cousin who, if you guys out there think that you are Star Wars fans, let me clue you in. My cousin owns 3 of the actual Star Wars costumes, like a stormtrooper.
Wait, who is this?
Chad. He didn't even meet him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but damn it, I wish it was one on you.
Oh, no, no, he's in Singapore, all right? Oh, no, so he's in Hong Kong now. But this guy's like a honcho kind of like accountant, like in a big ass firm. He owns, and he's going to buy the Mandalorian costume. He said, because it's the shit. So there you are, all right? And he was saying that, yeah, this is like, it, as you said, stuck the landing. He said it was a little bit shit. He said episode 7 was crap.
No, I disagree.
Oh, really?
I think 7 set it up well.
Well, this is the thing. He said, you should watch, if you haven't seen 7 and 8, you should watch them together.
Yeah,
he
which is what I did.
That's what I'll do. So, yeah, but I still dig it. For everyone who doesn't know, Mandalorian's a show about a race of beings called the Star Wars universe called Mandalorians, and they're like Boba Fett, except they're all bounty hunters, they're a warrior race, and they have religion involving weapons and shit. And there's a baby Yoda, pretty much is what you need to know.
Well, the last part being the most important thing in terms of its influence on the zeitgeist. But I will say this. I liked episode 1 fine. I think we reviewed up to episode 3 from memory.
Yeah.
I thought 2 was really lackluster.
Yeah, it's spotty.
3 was better. Then 4 and 5, I wouldn't say were terrible, but they were really kind of just freak of the week, fucking nothing going on. 6 was a little better.
Is that the Bill Burr one?
Yes.
That's fucking cool. I was like, oh shit, Bill Burr's in this.
But 7 and 8, they return to the overarching storyline and tie into some of the other episodes in ways, not all of them, that make it better.
Okay, good. No, I'm really excited to watch it now. Mm. In fact, I wanted to do it for this episode, but it ran out of time like a motherfucker.
So I raced to watch them last night, in fact, and I was really, really impressed.
That is... Okay, now I'm going to try not to manage my expectations because I
don't want to build it up too much for you, but to be my 5th best show of the year. And if you want to compare, who would have thought if we were going to compare what would be better as a Star Wars property in 2019?
Would it be the TV show?
The Mandalorian or Rise of Skywalker? No contest.
Really?
No contest. The Mandalorian by a million miles.
Purely by execution ways, I would have to agree. So, all right, fair enough.
So, I look forward to hearing your thoughts, even off mic. Maybe you know what? Maybe we'll do a little thing for the patrons.
Yeah, why not?
We can do a quick Mandalorian review. Cool. And all right. That's my 5. Your 6. My 5. Is that right? 5. So, back to you for your 5.
Okay. My number 5 is, I'm sure you'll disagree with this one. It's a show called Dead to Me. Now, it's a Netflix show, and it's got Christina Applegate in it and Linda Cardellini, okay? And
I think Patsy watched this one.
Yes, this is one of the ones...
Surprise me, you did.
Well, I was about to say, this was a recommendation from a lady friend.
What a shock.
And I'm also a lady, so obviously I dug it. Now,
why has lady bits?
Lady parts. So this pulled off a brilliant bitch. Black humor type show. It features Christina Applegate as a rage-filled widow, and she's racked with the mystery of her husband's hit and run. Then she basically...
So she was killed. He was killed.
He was killed, but she doesn't know who it was, and she's really obsessed with finding the car from the little clues that she has. She's paired alongside Linda Cardellini, who is like this unhinged, free-spirited lady named Judy, and... She just comes into her life and sort of ends up kind of living with her for a bit. But she's got massive secrets and it sort of intertwines, all right?
Okay.
And you then have to... This could have been a piece of shit because it's really... It sounds a bit soap opera-y and it's...
a bit of melodrama in there.
Right, but it has this penchant for wrapping grief in it, like a comedic kind of blanket. And it's one of the best, for me, series of the year. James Marsden is also in it, playing a very smarmy husband... That I quite like, or at least I quite agree with for some reason.
Wait, you agree with smarminess?
Oh, that fuck you, man! Quit putting that out there.
You just said it. I've destroyed the dots.
No, I'm saying that despite his smarminess, because he plays Linda. Fuck you. He plays the husband of the Linda Cardellini girl, and she's a bit nuts. So his actions are actually kind of justified. He's ultimately not that good a guy, but trust me, it works. The show is worth watching. Dead to Me on Netflix.
Okay,
I say give it a try. Give it a try. Right. Good couples show if you have one. I would say.
Right, well, that ship has sailed in my house. That's a shame. All right. So my number four then is another Netflix show. So Netflix, I guess, dominating my list, I have to say.
Sure. Well, it's Netflix.
The Mandalorian, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
A Disney Plus show, American Horror Story FX, but we've had Stranger Things, and now we have Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, shit. I saw the first episode of this.
Did you not like that first episode?
Yeah, it was fucking insane.
It's gorgeous. It's so well
put together. It was really gorgeous.
It's this animated anthology series,
yep,
basically with those three themes, largely very sci-fi, some horror, some sort of more drama-y, but largely sci-fi animated series of different styles. And this first one is beautiful.
The first one is beautiful. The reason I stopped watching is because the second one was not.
Well, it had 18 episodes.
Yep.
And of course, in an 18-episode anthology series, some things are going to not be as good as others.
Yep.
But the one that you're talking about was a much more comedic kind of look at those robots that are just wandering through a dystopian land.
Yeah, plus the style wasn't the same. Like, if you set up that first one and then you show me something not as good or interesting, I'm going to have a problem with it.
But geez, some of the other shit was just incredible.
Did you see the whole thing?
Yeah, and they're all short. Like, nothing's longer than 21 minutes,
That's
I think.
That's one good thing about
it. Some of them are as short as, like, 5 minutes. So you can really breeze through this really fast. I'm not saying that's what makes it good, but it means, like, the big benefit of an anthology show, movie, whatever, is if you don't like something, it's not that long before it ends.
That's right.
And the disadvantage is if you like something, it is not that long before it ends.
That's right. You play both ways. Yep. But it reminds me a bit of Aeon Flux, not in style or anything, but in sort of
Well,
format.
Yeah, Aeon Flux had a lot of very short
format. Are they connected?
I saw. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're all standalone.
Yeah.
And some of them get some really deep cerebral sort of moments, and some of them are just straight up action, gore fests. It's fantastic. I really enjoyed this one. Watched it late at night by myself, 2-3 episodes every time I stuck it on.
It's a good call.
Dug the shit out of it.
I've only seen the first one, but I can recommend that first one.
Yeah, absolutely. But go back. Check it out, man. This is well worth your time. And anyone out there who's like, if you're into sci-fi, if you're into sort of darker themes, this is a show for you.
Nice. Okay, good call. I did not expect that to turn up on your list.
Neither did I. I was really like, oh, this is good. Why aren't more people talking about it?
Yeah, okay. My number four is a show called The Boys.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Paul, you mentioned Umbrella Academy. I'm mentioning The Boys. There's some other ones. But basically, this year was a great year.
Those two are worlds apart.
They are worlds apart. And
The Boys is so much better than Umbrella Academy. Well,
that's the thing. This unusual takes on the busy superhero genre is a thing that seems to be happening in 2019. But in this show, the superheroes in this world are treated like celebrities, behave like complete assholes, and are commodified by a corporation, Vought International, which is run by the chick from Cocktail. Elizabeth.
And Wayne would wish that she would tell his cock some tales.
There you go. It's quite a good one. I didn't know I was setting you up, but there it is. What's probably great about this one is because I was sitting there looking at this, and it's developed from a cartoon or from a comic, which I never read. And I was surprised to see how well it worked because the sort of it's got the tropes of someone is definitely a Superman, someone is definitely a Wonder Woman, someone is definitely an Aquaman. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah, you can clearly see who's inspired by whom,
right? But then the good thing about the show is you see the dark side of every one of these characters, and they are truly, truly dark sides.
Not like, all of them. Some of them have more redeeming qualities than others.
Yeah, the girl's all right.
Naive.
Aquaman is basically a fucking rapist.
The Deep.
Yes, the Deep, and all that sort of shit. And the Superman character seems, it's that guy from fucking that shitty show that I hate.
Ah, fuck you.
That show sucks. What was
Banshee.
It? Banshee, what a fucking shithole.
That show is awesome.
What a bag of
I haven't checked
dicks.
It out yet.
That show
Dude,
fucking sucks.
Alan Ball.
Alan's balls. All right. yeah, he's the superhero who's wearing a stuffed costume with muscles. And he seems to be perfectly, he's actually nothing wrong with him until you find out what is wrong with him. And oh my God. He's the worst of the bunch. And that kind of shit is really cool. I love Dennis Quaid's son in it. And I thought it was really cool. So The Boys.
There's a promo video doing the rounds of season 2 at the moment. Where
is there?
It's the actors reading 1-star reviews on whatever platform.
Amazon, oh, that's good.
About the show. It's very funny.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, no, sorry. That's exaggeration. It's pretty good.
Ballsy for a promo. For, you know, for, that's good shit. All right. That's cool. By the way, Carl Urban's Billy Butcher. Shittest accent you've ever heard.
Yeah, that's probably
the worst thing about the
show.
We
reviewed this one as well. Go back a few months
yeah.
if you want to check out our full thoughts on it. And I think that was a big criticism we had.
It actually almost takes you out of it because it's so bad.
But I would agree, all those things. I also think it was surprisingly violent in a good way.
Absolutely.
And it's not afraid to go places. Although, to be honest, the number of cast members surviving at the end of season one, I was surprised by. I thought more would get offed.
Yeah, well, me
that
too.
Said, there is a notable death at the end of the first season. So I'm very keen, super keen on season two.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why it's my number three.
All right.
Very close.
Very good. My number three is a show called Billions. I've been waving this flag for years. It's basically about this billionaire, played by Damian Lewis, and this district attorney, played by Paul Giamatti, doing really excellent work jobs. Paul Giamatti he loves bondage and shit, despite being this member of society. Damian Lewis is just fucking badass. He's just like the most fucking fuck you billionaire ever, and he's cool as fuck. And the last season ended with them, because they hate each other. For years and years.
Is that what it's about? So it's an antagonism between the two of them.
It was until at the end of the last season they became friends. Because Paul Giamatti's wife also works for Damian Lewis. It's a bit complex. He's a head psychologist or whatever, right? And so in this season, it starts with them being friends, but this sort of uneasy friendship where it's like, it's quite complex. And
how many seasons is it?
Three.
This is the third season. Okay.
Yeah, but this one's got John Malkovich in it playing a Russian mobster who puts his money places, and he's like, basically, if you won't kill for your money, then you can't have my money. This kind of thing, right? He invests with different investing houses. So it seems like a lot of it's almost like it's not action or anything. It's definitely a drama, but this is completely engrossing, and it's not one of those. It's basically about power. It's not about money. It's about power, and that's what the cool thing about the show is. And it's very, very cool. I say, if you haven't tried Billions, big fan. Give it a try.
Right, that's a big recommend there, and yeah, no, not a show that I've ever seen. So
it's I mean, you gotta like if you ever watched fucking The Big Short or something, and you dug it, you're gonna dig this.
Showtime,
yes,
or HBO.
I believe Showtime.
How many episodes a season?
I want to say 10.
Okay, well, I guess that's doable. So we've got 30 episodes out there in the ether at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you can give that one a bash. It's hard when you get too far behind.
Absolutely. If you like the first season, you'll persevere. Yeah.
Three episode rule.
I think this will get you in the 3-episode rule. No question.
Well, it has to. Otherwise, you've lost me.
Well, some don't, and it's still a good show. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, I don't deny the fact that the show can get, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 3 episodes in, you go, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
But after towards the end of the first season / start of the second season, that's where it really hits its stride. So
question.
It doesn't always work.
Okay. If they chose to revive that, would you watch it?
Yeah,
of course you would, right?
Of course I would.
Okay.
But that said, I don't expect it to impact me the same way now as it did then.
If they made it all, yeah.
Unless they made it like, what's Buffy up to in her mid-30s?
No, that's what it's got to be. That is absolutely what's got
to
be.
Start again with the same story.
Like, she's got the council and everything, and then Xander's still around and still fucking hasn't rooted her and stuff. So, yeah, okay.
Well, I guess Xander doesn't have Anya anymore, so he might try for it. I
forgot about that. Yeah, there you are.
All right. My number two, then, is a show which I've championed to you. I asked you to watch it ahead of this episode. I don't reckon you have.
Go on.
It's What We Do in the Shadows.
I fucking totally did.
Oh!
Yeah.
I am surprised.
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you like it?
Yeah, I did. It's not on my list.
Okay.
But
that would have been too much to hope for.
First of all,
it's my number two, Paul. Oh, I would have been jacking off. Like
Well, then I'm glad. Matt Berry.
Nah, he's not.
Is one. Matt Berry is one of my favorite actors. Like, certainly my favorite British actor.
He's fantastic.
So funny, yeah. Right? And he in this, because I. Like, it's common knowledge now, and people can't believe I didn't necessarily care for the actual movie. But this show here is better.
Oh,
it's
damn.
Better. And the thing, I don't even want to talk about it, but the thing that got me, right, is that Matthew Berry, apart from Matt Berry being awesome, right, the white guy in the house, right, is
an energy vampire,
yeah. Right? For the first 3 episodes, I was watching it going, is he just a boring man and actually isn't a vampire at all? Because, I thought, is that going to be the gag? He's just a boring white man? Right? And then it turns out in the 4th episode that he sort of flies in the air. So he actually is a vampire. But I would have really loved it if he wasn't. If it was like, oh, this guy's a vampire, but he's actually just a human who's boring. That would have been piss funny.
That would be funny, but it wouldn't make any sense why we hang out with vampires.
I know. But I found myself chortling forthrightly. Yeah,
there's a lot of laughs. And I don't. How far did you get? Did you finish it yet?
4th.
Okay.
4th season.
I would say episode 7 is the pinnacle of the show.
I was trying to get to that because you told me that there was a piss funny episode.
One
so.
Which I just laughed the whole way.
I'll get to it. Yeah. I won't give it up.
You'll finish it. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Mm. I understand it's not in your top 5 or 6 or whatever, but geez, I found the show hilarious. Right down to, and they set up a really intriguing second season in the last episode too in a way that I think is better written than I could have anticipated.
Yeah?
Yeah, but Jermaine Clement and to a lesser extent Taika Waititi are behind the scenes on this. So Jermaine Clement directs a lot of the episodes of the show.
Oh, is that so?
And the effects are pretty good.
They're good. They're good for know, that.
I turn into vampire, to bat, sorry, and whatever else. So there's some really clever stuff here. Not flashy, like, wow, but like, oh, that was good for a TV show.
Well executed and well placed. Like, it's not all, the shot is not about the effect, but the effect is in the shot and it's well more than competent. So it's good. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you told me this one and I'm glad I watched it. So.
And some good gags that pay off in the last two or three episodes as well, which is set up.
Really?
And I think the best comedy shows set up a gag and return to it time and again. Like Arrested Development, the best thing about Arrested Development, forget the latter seasons on Netflix, but the first three seasons of that show, is the humor builds kind of like a stone gathering moss or an avalanche as it rolls downhill. So by the end, you're absolutely cacking yourself. To start with, it's like, chortle.
Yeah, which is risky game to play. Mm. And Ron Howard, like, for him to do comedy, very cool. I think it's cool.
So I'm all up for this show. It's fantastic, and that's why it's my very
What We Do in the Shadows.
Second best show of the year.
Very nice. My number two show will also not surprise you, but I will tell you that I watch this show whenever I'm sick and have to stay in bed, and I've watched it the season over at least twice. Veep.
Oh, okay. Final season?
Final season. Yep. This is it. Now, unfortunately, I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus had some health issues, and I think that's why they put this season away.
Well,
I think she's still fine. I'm not sure. But this is a critical darling, and the reason it is, people, is that it is immediately the funniest and rudest show on TV right now, or at least was on TV right now. It's like the Eddie Murphy Delirious of our time, if it was a TV show, because it's so raucously vulgar, but also so kind of highfalutin because it's U.S. politics, you know? And I would have thought that this year they would deal with Trump somehow. They just haven't done that. They've just gone, nah, don't worry about it. This is they continue in the world of Veep, which is a very good call because this show here brings it all to an end and very much an end, if you know what I mean, if you have seen the show. But it's still hilarious, flat out piss funny, does not let up, and still has all the moments you want in it. If you loved any part of this show, or if you haven't tried it, you're going to love this show. I don't imagine anyone wouldn't love this show if you have a brain in your head, which I don't really. But if you're at all interested, even not in politics, you're going to laugh at the show. So, yeah, Veep.
Wow, okay. Look, I know you've talked about it a lot on the show.
You really got to get on this, motherfucker. It's a half-hour show.
How many seasons?
7.
Yeah, look, I'm more likely to like this one, I think, than It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That one is quirky.
Which I know is an that absolute... omission from your list.
I haven't
today.
Seen the later seasons. I haven't. I don't know if it's jumped the shark.
Fucking good.
No, I stayed with it for fucking 9 seasons, Cracker. So yeah, right. And plus, I think that guy's moved on to AP Bio or something.
What?
The lead character.
Oh, so they've got rid of. Well, he just said enough's enough.
That's a good question. I haven't seen those later seasons, but yes, all good. So
okay,
please
take it on board, and maybe that's something I can give a probably better than 30 Rock.
30 Rock is probably the best show of all time.
That's my point. You've lost me there.
What the fuck with this? How do you not know that? Anyone, please, holler at your dog.
Almost the whole first season.
People.
And it was...
30 Rock fans out there, tell Paul what the fuck is up, okay? Now that I said that, no one's going to say anything.
We'll put a thread up in the listener
face. No, fuckhead, don't fucking...
30 Rock, comment below.
I'll suck my dick. Dot, get dot, all the haters. Dot. Only haters fucking talk. You know how it is.
Only haters talk. All right, my very best TV... experience of 2019 is not my most enjoyable one at all. That was What We Do in the Shadows.
Sure.
And The Boys are close second. It's a show which I appreciated for how wonderfully it is constructed, and it's a miniseries, and it's fucking heart-wrenching, and therefore you've not seen it, nor will it be on your list. It's Chernobyl.
I have wanted to watch this for some time and did not get to it. Now tell me about it.
6-episode miniseries. They're all between 60 and 72 minutes long. Premiered on HBO, and Chernobyl basically follows the Chernobyl nuclear meltdown in 1986, and its main character is played by Jared Harris, and with a second main character, Stellan Skarsgård, and they're the two officials, which are, for various reasons, one's an environmental minister, one's within the government, appointed to oversee this sort of cleanup and try and sort out what's going on with after the reactor melts down.
So it's after the reactor meltdown.
Well, you see it. The first episode.
Oh, I see. You see.
Here's a construction. The first episode, you see it melt down.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you get to see why or how it came to melt down. In the very last episode, during the trial, so to speak, about it.
Yeah.
And then their efforts to contain it. And this is most harrowing because it's a government that would throw its people literally, under the bus.
Yeah.
In order to preserve... that we are in control.
Really?
At one point, for example, in the show, they get a piece of equipment from West Germany, not East Germany, which is important.
Yeah.
And they make sure it won't work because how could the massive Soviet Union be saved by a piece of equipment from the West.
Are you kidding me? And no. That's what...
And therefore, lots of people die. Lots. Shit. And are shit. Burnt and mutated. And it follows some of the people at ground level.
Yeah.
As the... And in the town of Chernobyl around it and what happens to them. And it's harrowing.
Is this a British show?
The showrunner is Craig Mazin, who, believe it or not, worked on Hangover 2 and 3. Fucking does my head in.
But who knows what he did on it.
Yeah. You know, Todd Phillips, the guy who directed The Hangover, has directed Joker this year. So, you know, people have had more than one string to their bow. But it's a United States and United Kingdom production.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah, very cool.
This is, if you've not seen it and you're at all interested in this kind of drama, real world, real pathos, then this is the show for you. If you're not, you want sweetness and light, steer well fucking clear.
Really? I've been meaning to get to this, but now I'm scared. Oh, well, we'll see how it goes.
Not sure I did my job then in saying it's my number one TV show. No,
like it sounds like the type of thing I would like accidentally watch and then get sucked into. So yeah, we'll see. I should get to it.
I'll say some of our friends who aren't as into film and TV as we are, when we traveled recently a few months ago to Melbourne, a couple of them, one watched it on the plane over.
Yeah.
Like the last three episodes, and one watched the first three on the way back, and both were like fucking blown away.
Really? Mm. All right. I'll watch it. I'll queue it up. Okay, cool. My number one, people, is a show called Watchmen.
Yeah, I never got to it.
Oh, dude, this is not what you think it is. Because, you know, we talked about, like, Umbrella Academy and The Boys. Because when I saw The Boys, I'm like, why are they doing Watchmen then? This is basically The Boys.
Can you explain one thing to me?
Yeah.
Do you need to have seen the film before you watch the TV show?
No.
Right, because I was going to start watching it with my fiance.
All right, hang on a sec.
But she justifiably said, do I need to have seen the film first? And I said, well, shit, I don't know.
All right, you know, you may not... Here's the thing. It actually takes off from the book.
Okay, it not read the book.
And no, the TV show is
follows
based,
the book.
It's after the book, right? Yeah. So you do... in the TV show, I'll just tell you now, okay? In the book, the big thing that happens in the end is that someone conjures a giant squid.
Kraken.
Well, okay, a Kraken.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a squid.
It's a squid. To hit New York City, and it's like, oh my God, we're being attacked by alien squids, and that's what makes the world not go to a nuclear holocaust.
Right.
That's what the book is about. In the movie, it's much the same thing, but he did not put the squid in there. He just made it a nuclear threat.
Right, okay.
So in this show, they actually address the squid thing. So I would actually say, watch the movie with the knowledge that the thing at the end is actually a squid, not a thing, and then you can watch this. Because everything is the same.
Yep.
Right? And in fact, I would recommend you watch the movie first.
All right, there we go.
So this is the thing. This is done by your friend who did fucking Lost.
Damon Lindelof.
That's right. And unfortunately, the bad thing about the show is it gets a bit losty in that it's a...
That's a bad thing?
Yes. It's fucking abstract and this timeline is happening here and that kind of thing is happening there. That's the only thing I'm perhaps disliked about the show. Not that it's handled badly. I will tell you though why it's my number one. It starts with this scene in Tulsa in 1921 where a bunch of Ku Klux Klan walk into this predominantly black town and just murder everyone. And it gets so bad that private citizens use their biplanes to drop bombs from the sky to kill this entire town.
Oh, fuck?
Yeah, and guess what? It really happened. I looked at that and I thought, this really happened in the States in 1921. It's called, there's actually a name for it, but basically that whole town was known as Black Wall Street because the more well-to-do African-Americans lived in that town. In the 20s, that happened. The reason they targeted that town is to kill all of them and kill that wealth. And it's actually often credited to be the death of black wealth, kind of. And that's, you know, one of the factors. It's massive. And no one knows the story. And Damon Lindelof actually said, I found out about that story. They don't really teach it that well, he says, in schools and stuff. And so he wanted to exploit it. So he starts it like that. And then everything comes from there. This is a very African-American show.
Yeah, I've heard right? Very sociopolitical.
But the thing about it is it's also such a complex show, but it still works despite all the timeline jumps and this and that. Ozymandias is played by Jeremy Irons now. So he's like old now. All the Watchmen and stuff. And like, a lot of the characters from the movie or from the book or whatever are now old and they're doing different things. And it's you don't find out until...
So it's years later.
Years later. It's actually set present day. And it is...
Because that was set in the 80s, is that right?
Set in the 80s, yeah. That's right. So this is brutal, this show. This is absolutely brutal. But if you watch it, you're going to see the craftsmanship in how well this was made.
I heard that Regina King is excellent.
Regina King is banging baller in this thing, man. To me, she's just Jerry Maguire's like client's wife, but she fucking kills in this show.
I dare you.
And this is the weird thing, right? In this show, it's gotten to a stage where policemen are all mandated to wear masks.
Yeah, like Rorschach, right?
Like Rorschach. Well, no, Rorschach are the bad guys, but they wear yellow masks. The police do this.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and the high-level police can actually wear costumes, and that's what she is. She's like a detective or something, and she's got full-on like superhero shit. But if you can wrap your head around that, this show is absolutely worth looking at. You got to check out, commit to it, because it's 8 episodes or something. But
9,
it, yeah. Yeah, 9 episodes, and it's very highly artistic, this show. All right. Again, it's not exactly an up-note show. But it totally, yeah, do watch the first movie, though. If you haven't read the comic, watch the movie. But I would say it's worth doing that. First of all, the movie's fucking awesome. So I don't see why you wouldn't watch that.
I've seen it, but obviously Patsy hasn't.
So. Well, Patsy will like it too. I brought my then-girlfriend to it, and she said, that was amazing. I'm like, all right. So, you know.
All right, there we are. So Watchmen. Not a surprise. People have watched it, absolutely rave about it. Oh, and dude. I'm keen. I'm absolutely keen.
No, I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it.
And I did have a vague intention of trying to sneak it in, but in the end, there was a lot of other things to get there. And so rather than get half-assed and get halfway through it, I thought, nah, we'll let you talk about it. And I was confident it would be on your list. It is.
Well, you know, any honorable mentions for you?
No, that's it for me. I've talked about everything I need to talk about today. What about you? Very quickly.
Okay, Silicon Valley. Still good, everyone. I had a show called On Becoming a God in Central Florida with Kirsten Dunst in it. I've only seen 2.5 episodes, but it is really good. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's a really weird one, but she's really, really good in it. And that's it. Oh, there's a show on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave, which is it's a sketch show, which is surprisingly funny.
Okay.
There you are.
All right, very nice. That's it for our lists. What about yours? We wrap up every episode with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call
Talk About. Talk About.
What a bitch. This week's Potchin with Jason from the Binge Movies Podcast. He just had the gift of Phoebe Waller-Bridge in Fleabag.
Oh, nice. Good one.
Our good friend Sam from the Movie Views and 20 Qs podcast, and on their feed they just dropped our discussion of the best and the worst Tonin horror films of the last decade, or one of which has not been released on our feed just yet. Chernobyl, Daredevil Season 3, When They See Us, Unbelievable, The Witcher, and Mindhunter Season 2 were all his number one. The worst, The Island, another Netflix show. A load of shit.
Everyone has shat on this show. I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Okay. Neither have I listened to the reviews, and Dan from Netflix and Swill said exactly the same thing. Actually, he said, you leave that show alone. Someone's 4-year-old wrote that.
Oh, God.
Our good mate Doody from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast had The Mandalorian, The Boys, and Preacher as his best three.
Yeah.
Matthew Fisher had a whole bunch of favorite shows. I'm just going to read the first three. Watchmen, Chernobyl, and The Mandalorian.
Mm.
We watched The Thing. B. Dissel from that show. Another great Australian podcast. Number three, The Imagineering Story. Amazing doco series about the designers at Disney Parks.
Oh, sounds okay. Pretty cool. That sounds cool.
Number two, there you go. Silicon Valley, a great final season.
Booyah.
And number one, The Boys. Brilliant. So good.
Excellent.
Gidget von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast, Succession, which is a show I've heard a lot about.
That's loosely based on the Murdochs, and I've heard a lot about that show too. I did want to get to it.
The Mandalorian and The Boys were her top three. The Cinema Guys had The Mandalorian, Watchmen, and Doom Patrol. First mention of that one.
It's a new one, right?
Yeah. Yes, a new DC show, which a lot of people are raving about. Yes. Dave from Super Movie Bros, another great mate. The Mandalorian, Watchmen, and The Boys. So hitting all the big comic book ones there. Drew from the Real Feels podcast said, I can't think of any truly bad ones, so I just have the best, His Dark Materials.
I've heard of this one.
Yeah. The Boys and number one, The Mandalorian. There you are, Wayne. Super Retro Throwback Steven, disagreeing with me, had The Twilight Zone as one of the best. The Mandalorian and AEW Dynamite, which sounds like a wrestling show, but I've got no idea what that is. The worst, The Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover between all the...
I only have heard of this. Is it shit? It's got all like different Supermans in it. It's got Tom Welling and fucking Brandon Routh. It's just
a crossover between all the shows on the CW and some other shows from the past as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And Star Trek Discovery, which another show which is generally speaking well regarded. So interesting there.
Shit.
Chris Yeaney, top level, one of the top level patrons of the show. Man. Best BoJack Horseman.
I've not Netflix. Seen this one. No. I've heard a lot about it though.
Number two, It's Bruno on Netflix. And number three, The Good Place.
Now, The Good Place, everyone. For some reason, it didn't snag me, but everyone adores it. And apparently, the second season's way better than the first. So, Kristen Bell.
Yes, Kristen Bell. Yeah, I agree. We gave up. And then I read about the big twist at the end of season one. And I was like, damn it, I should have
passed. Oh, really? Oh, maybe I'll keep going. All right.
So was the podcast. Joey from that show, another great mate, previous guest co-host. What We Do in the Shadows, Watchmen, and The Mandalorian. Getting hit up there. Ghost of the Stratosphere podcast is a good place getting love. It's the only thing I still bother to watch regularly. And Doom Patrol was good, too.
Some love.
Sarah Knightley just said, worse, season 8 Game of Thrones.
Not alone, I'm sure.
Absolutely not, because Caleb on Twitter also said, Game of Thrones Season 8, huge dump of a season that ruined something that used to be good.
That's true. I don't want to watch it again now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's the point I should have made earlier. I've not bought this on Blu-ray or 4K. It's the only season of the show.
How
I don't
can
own.
The last shitty three season episodes?
And yet you wanted to have it on your fucking best of.
No, it still was great until three episodes, man. I'm just saying.
Best Russian Doll, What We Do in the Shadows, in years and years. That's a show I haven't heard of.
No, me neither.
Partner Comics, John from that show. Best Star Trek Discovery, there we are. Doom Patrol and Mindhunter. And worst, Swamp Thing was a letdown.
Can I show you something just real quick, unrelated? Great British Bake Off. Just give it a try. All I can tell you is just give it a try. It is fucking great. I'm almost right and die for it. It's so good to watch.
Okay, there we go. Trash Money on Twitter had Parking Wars on the Justice Network, which Drew from the Real Filth podcast agreed and said Parking Wars is a truly guilty pleasure. Don't know, it sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it does actually.
Someone with a tiny little bit of road rage, that might be fun.
Yeah, you. Paul's the worst, everyone. Paul will cut you in the street. And I mean not off, like in the throat.
Baby Hands Jones had Best Mr. Robot and Worst, The Mandalorian. Starts out interesting enough, but its pacing betrays its existing for marketing purposes, and the middle episodes are flashy without anything resembling substance. I agree with the last part.
Yeah, okay, it's but marketing runs the world.
Emily Higgins from the Tasteless podcast said, I'll watch Law & Order SVU until I'm dead. It's season 1 million and I'm on board. I don't hate anything I recall. That said, I don't love Fleabag, but maybe it was talked up too much.
Ah, okay.
Over to the Facebook listening community then to wrap this one up. Daniel Henderson from the Movie Journey podcast. Well, generally, I would have my Survivor for best, but anyone watched this year's two seasons, well, you know, two thumbs down.
There you are.
Yeah. Mike T, your cousin.
Mike. Crack.
Said, I did find Unbelievable on Netflix unbelievably boring.
No.
When nothing actually happened besides the easiest police conviction ever. And surprisingly for me, Looking for Alaska and The End of the Fucking World were much better than expected and worth a watch.
The End of the Fucking World, the fucking lead character actually tortures an animal. And I'm like, fuck this guy. So I just backed out.
Is that season one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the whole of season one. It was okay. My partner loves it much more than I do.
Yeah, couldn't identify. Go on.
John Huslander said, highs include the first part of the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So there you go.
There you go.
The Boys and Watchmen and the lows. I finally gave up on the Flash and the ending of Game of Thrones.
Mm.
So right there with you there. Troy Spinner from the Great Maze podcast. Best Fleabag. There are a lot of top contenders, but this one was a standout. I loved it.
Mm.
Worst, without naming any reality TV show, which is bloody good call, Troy, because fuck all them, he said, I'll just go with the likely number one pick, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sadly. There you are.
Last couple then. Jordy Davis said, TV is more my jam than movies. So Killing Eve was again fantastic this year, so Jordy's not going to be happy with me.
Boom.
As was The Expanse. If you're a sci-fi fan and you haven't been watching or reading this, you're making a mistake.
Okay, The Expanse.
Yeah, I watched the first couple episodes and I liked it enough, but kind of like what you described with a couple of your shows, just didn't grab me enough to keep going. So maybe I need to fix that one, Jordy. Thank you for that. And Tammy Davis, to wrap it up, best was Stranger Things Season 3, Emergence and Mandalorian.
Emergence. Okay, I don't know that one.
Worst was Fleabag. I just don't get the buzz around that one.
Okay.
Thank you to everybody who got back to us. And we had, I don't know, dozens and dozens of feedback this week. We couldn't get through it all. I do apologize, but thank you so much for your support of the show. And I'm going to say, hang around at the end of the episode if you are a patron or indeed you just want to sort of see, because we're going to shout out patrons of the show after the end credits or the end music of the show. Just to say thank you to everybody. But it's been a big year for the show. We're dropping this on December 31st. By far our biggest year we've ever, ever had on the show. And it's all thanks to the patrons and you good folk for listening. And it keeps us going.
Thank you so much.
We've had some amazing feedback from people. And, well, without you, we probably wouldn't bother.
Yeah,
it
would just be two crackers talking to each other over here. Yeah. And,
which we could do without a microphone.
Yeah, that's right, which we used to do, but this is much better.
Yeah, well, tonight people are interested enough to have an audience. It's really heartwarming, I have to
say. Yeah, and it's odd for people like me.
Well, I've already announced what we're doing next week on the show, which is the worst 10 films of 2019. We're going to give it to our public service announcement, which we do at this time of year every year. And the week after that will be the best 10 of the year, which we're going to be madly cramming in films for, just to wrap that one up. I've got two or three I need to see before I can definitively decide on my favourites of the year. But Wayne, how do listeners get back to us with their feedback week in and week out?
By Googling The Countdown Podcast, and you'll just find us all there, as well as sending us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. You can follow us on Podbean, where we host the show. And indeed, check out ccradio.com.au for other great Australian shows and our back catalogue as well. All right, that is it for today, episode 248. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, kids.
Have a great new year. Be safe. Have a lot of fun, all the rest of that. And we'll catch you in 2020.
Drink. Ooh.
with that, bingo.
That's the airport of Greece.
Yeah, fuck off. All right.
See you next time.
See ya.
Patrons that make this show possible.
Shout out, you people are wonderful.
Thank you so much. Wayne, lead us away.
Adam Malure, Adelaide Lord, Aunt Juan, and Ashley Gorski.
From the Rabbit Ears podcast. Who I adore. Returning soon. Then we have Austin Baker, Benjamin Randall, which is Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast, Bicentennial Man, and Blake Jarvis.
What up? We also have Brendan, just straight up Brendan, Brianna Petty, she rocks, Caleb Edward, also rocking a man, and Chris Yeaney.
Brett Velthelven, Christopher O'Neill, Cy Wazow, Dan Brennick from the Netflix and Swill podcast.
Big contributor David Powell, Jordy Davidson, also big contributor. Massive. James Spence, and Jared DeMeza. Good. He once was on the show.
He was twice.
Twice. Back, yes.
Twice on the show. Jennifer Manson, next up, another top level patron.
Love her.
Thank you, Jen. Jeremy North, John Amenta, who I believe is in the Pint of Comics podcast, and Julio from the Contrarians podcast.
We also have Justin from the Epic Film Guys, Justin Winters from
So I Married a Movie Geek.
That's right. Kevin Lawler and Lenny Salter.
Lindsay Driscoll, next up, then Luigi Tyrone, top level patron to the show, Matt and Michael Angelin.
Mike Margosian, Mike Siebert, Mike T, my cuz, and Nick Haskins, who recently made us do a shit Patreon review.
Which you'll hear very shortly soon. From the Epic Film Guys. And Mike, of course, Siebert. That is actually Wayne.
Mike Siebert.
Mike Siebert podcast.
Siebert, got it.
Nicole Presley, next up.
Yay.
Then Peter D, Sally Vaughan, top level patron of the show. Thank you, Sally. And Shane Danger Gibson.
Word. We also have the So Wizard podcast themselves.
That's Joey from there.
Joey. Steve Zetty. S-Z-E-T-E-Y.
Good job.
Tara Michalik and the IMDb Journey podcast, also very generous.
That's Hendo from that show, Movie Journey podcast, as they're now called. And then wrapping up, Tom Gothorpe, Troy Anthony from the Great Mates podcast, Warren Leo. And we watch the things be dizzle.
You guys all rock, and we basically wouldn't be here, literally would not sound this good or at all without you, so you're the bomb.
Thank you so much, and have a great 2020, all of you, and indeed everyone who's still listening at this point. We'll catch you next year.
We love you.